the question was asked, how are we supposed to understand when Midrashim seem to quote God having conversations with angels, God thinking things through with angels, God discussing things with his heavenly court? We have a rule. Dibra Torah kilshon bnei adam. The Torah speaks in language that we can understand. And the Torah uses borrowed terms. Hashem says, I regret that I created man on earth the way I did. I'm going to limit their life to 120 years. God has regrets. God says, I want. God has wants. So the Rambam teaches us that these are borrowed terms which the Torah uses so that we understand what the Torah means. But we have to know that in the true sense of the word, it is a misnomer to use these words about God. To start saying God wants, the only time you want something is when you're lacking. The only time you anger is if you're lacking. To say God gets angry, God doesn't get angry. So when the Torah uses these terms, we say they are borrowed terms. The Torah is saying that from our perspective, God gets upset when we sin. From our perspective, God takes vengeance. From our perspective, God is happy when we perform mitzvot. But that's all our perspective. That's not the truth. That's our perspective on the truth.
Just to the point of time here, you made many things up. The point of time, the one Gemara is saying that there are specific times in Bilam, for example, the tuning.
Wait. Let's finish this, and then we'll see if we can deal with that. I suggest we wait with that. Bezrat Shem, in a few weeks, we'll get to that Gemara in Brachot Nein Yaakov, and then Bezrat Shem, we'll try to deal with it. So, when the Midrashim tell us that God converses with angels, or when the Psukim allude to the fact that God takes counsel with angels, it doesn't mean that God was wondering, what should I do with these people? Angels, you guys have a plan? You guys have an idea? This is what I think. What do you guys think? That's not what the Midrashim are telling us. The Midrashim are expressing to us that the Torah was expressing to us a certain lesson. When the Midrashim reveal to us the ways of God, they are revealing to us for our sake. Not because God specifically does things this way as opposed to that. What difference does it make how God runs the heavens? The difference is how are we supposed to be? When God says, I take counsel with my angels, God is teaching us to take counsel, as we saw in the beginning of Pirkei Rabbeleizer. That when God said, let me ask my angels, shall I create this world? So God is revealing to us that any kingship that's worth anything is going to take counsel with its advisors. One is not greater when one says, I need no advisors. One is greater when one has advisors and one takes counsel with them. When God tells us that God asked the angels, shall I create man? The Medrash says God asked the angels. And the angels said, no, what's man worth? He's going to sin. And God said, even so, I'm going to create him. The Medrash is revealing to us that it was clear before God that we will sin. God didn't create us and say they should be automatons, let them be perfect, and then we, so to speak, let God down. No, this was part of the godly plan. When the Midrashim revealed to us these discussions or these sayings, what the Midrashim are doing is they're helping us get perspective. We don't have to understand it literally. As a matter of fact, I don't know if we're permitted to understand it literally. So that we saw the Rambam in the introduction to the 10th chapter in Sanhedrin. He says there are different approaches, different people approach Midrashim in different ways, and the correct way to approach Midrashim is by saying there is depth. If I have a tradition, if I understand it, good. And if not, then I know that the Midrashim don't mean what they say, literally. There's more depth to it, but I understand good. But I don't understand, I know that the literal meaning is not the correct one. And says the Rambam, those who say, no, the literal meaning, that's what the sages said, that's what went on, and anyone who doesn't believe it is a heretic, says the Rambam, they're making fools of themselves and of Chazal. Yeah? So that's the Rambam we saw in the introduction to the 10th chapter.
We are not able to understand different meaning of the
and the relevance to us, and just let the story tell us. Is that positive for the person? Perhaps for the knowledge?
There's an aspect where we say that in Chazal's words, Lavin Mashal Umlitza, that the simple understanding of what Chazal said also has benefits, so long as we know that there is a deeper understanding. Chazal say that if a person wants Yirat Shamayim, he should learn Midrashim. Midrash is what's going to give us Yirat Shamayim. And they don't mean only if you know the depths of the Midrash. When we introduce Shmona Esrei, when we're approaching God, we start our prayers, and we have Psukei Zimra. And as part of Psukei Zimra, we say the Halelukot. What do we say? We say Hashem protects the widows, Hashem helps the orphans, Hashem helps the people who are oppressed. You walk outside a shul, you see a widow standing there begging you for money. You see an orphan who can't afford to pay his education. You see a ger that's having a hard time making ends meet. We just said in the Halelukot that Hashem takes care of all that. And yet when we walk outside, we see there are problems in the world. Yes, because when we see the problems in the world, one can start thinking, wait a second, there are problems which are going to cause me to have philosophical issues. There are real problems in the world, which if I look at them, that's going to be difficult for me to come close to my Creator. So sages instituted that when we come to pray, we refer to the empirical value, the way God runs the world in general. God does take care of the sick. God does take care of the widows. God does take care of the orphans. We don't always see it, but we have to be reminded it is such. When we read Midrashim, that's part of what's happening. We're being reminded that God is running the world in a bigger sense. In our own lives, sometimes it's difficult to see, but when you read a story, and you see in that story that how God did it, so then it moves you to that direction. And that's where even the simple understanding of the Midrashim, so long as a person knows there's a deeper meaning, they can also help in pushing a person to the right direction.
You refer to that also with the descriptions of the angels. Also there. It's there, so to be read at the 5-year-old level.
There is such an aspect, yeah. We have to know that we can't end life at 5 years old. We have to gain more depth. It's terrible if a person understands the Tanakh today like a 5-year-old does. But there are places where we say, I can't do better than that. Okay?
On the one side, you see sometimes people in a very rationalistic approach, which many times is also a cynical approach, which many times is also a deterrent to getting close to God. And at the same time, you see, I mean, perhaps I'm simplifying, other people that have emunah that is simpler, but on the one, you know,
so that,
to be able to last the thing there.
That's true, that today there are people who claim they're going in the footsteps of the Rambam, and they're not. There are people who will say the Midrashim cannot be understood literally, and then they go on to make the Midrash to be into something really silly. And that's not what the Rambam meant either. So we have to be careful. Just because we say there's depth doesn't mean we know the depth. An example of that is by Rosh Hashanah. We say we blow shofar when we're sitting in the quiet. Shmona Esrei, we blow shofar when we're standing. We blow shofar before the Shmona Esrei and during the Shmona Esrei. And why? To confuse the Satan. So you read Rashi, you read the Rishonim, and you walk away and you say, the Satan gets confused. And then you say, wait a second, Satan's smarter than all of us. How come we can confuse him? And the answer that you have to give, unless you know a better one, then tell me, but the answer you have to give, to the best of my knowledge, is, I have no idea. I don't know what Chazal meant. They told me a medrash here that I can't make heads or tails of. For some reason, they tell me this confuses the Satan. I don't know what's confusing about it. But what I do know is that Chazal said it, and they knew what they meant, and there is a deeper meaning. And for now, I'll have to just say, I don't know. So, we encounter Midrashim. And when we encounter them, we have to know that there is a deeper meaning. When we merit, we can attain the deeper meaning. We read the Mefarshim on it when we can. And if not, so we'll remain at least with the effects of the simple understanding. We know that even though, what am I doing? I'm blowing a trumpet. Great. What's special about my blowing trumpet? Everyone stands in quiet and all. I don't know. But I know the sages came and taught me that it has a great impact in heaven. What it is, I don't know. Why it is, I don't know. But it does. That's my mitzvah. That's what I do. And this point is something else. Sure?